Now, I have a special message for you this morning, and I want you to get on the alert mentally, key yourself up, and be ready to get it. I'm going to read several verses from the 9th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. 9th chapter, you just remember it, and then look it up later, because I'll be skipping around in there, and you'll have a hard time keeping up with me. Now, listen just a minute, young folks. Let's get this clear. If you'll get this clearly fixed in your mind, it'll help you as long as you live in studying the Bible. Now, we say we believe in the inspiration of the Bible. What do we mean by that? Well, we mean that we believe whatever the Bible says is so. But remember, the Bible is a book made up of what God said, what man said, and what the devil said. Now, what God said is always so. Now, what the devil says is usually a lie, but God said he said it. What man said may be so or may not be so, but it's so that the man said it. When God says a man said something, he said it. When God said the devil said something, he said it. And when God says something, it's always true, absolutely, literally, unqualifiedly true. So we believe that this book is an inspired book, a record of what God said, what the devil said, and what man said accurately recorded. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes is a book, is a record of a man that sits down and reasons about God and this life and so on. And the Holy Spirit accurately records his reason. Now, there's something in the chapter I'm going to read you this morning that man said it isn't so. Two or three things he said isn't so, that not so. Now, I want you to notice closely, because it's very important you get this straight. You're going to face problems in the world. There are a few little simple things. If you once get cleared up in your mind, you've solved most of your problems. And that's what's the matter with so many folks today. Nobody tells them about these things, and they get out in the world. Somebody comes along and says, well, you know, everything is in the Bible isn't so. Well, everything in the Bible is so in the sense that whoever said it. And there's no trouble to find out what God said, what man said. So the key to the book of Ecclesiastes is a man on the sun sits down and reasons. He looks around. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know anything about the hereafter. He just reasons. Now let's notice these words. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. He seemed to recognize God. Man said, everything's in God's hand. Now, I've heard sinners say that. I've heard sinners look up and say, sure, there's a God. Sure, God, would God do so and so? So any man takes for granted there's a God. Nobody but a fool ever said there's no God. You know there's a God. You know somebody, somewhere, sometime had to make it. So this man takes into consideration God. All right. He said, no man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All right. All things come alike to all. Now, that isn't so. Some things come alike. Some things are common. Yeah, we all have some things in common, but not all things come alike to all men. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and him that sacrificeth not. As is a good, so is a sinner. And he that sweareth is he that feareth an oath. Otherwise, what's the difference? In this world for a little while, we're gone. What's the difference? All right, notice these next verses. This is an evil thing among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil and madness. He had enough sense to know something wrong with man. Plato and Aristotle and the philosophers knew that. Any fool knows that. You don't have to be a smart man to know something's wrong with fellas. Why they do like they do. They do as they do because they are as they are. They lie because they're liars. They steal because they're thieves. They're murderers because they kill. In all language and dialect of the world, there's some word for ought, a duty, a must. So everybody says there's something wrong with man. So he admits this here. All right. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. What kind of hope? It's mighty poor you have it here. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. You've got some hope, all right. Better to be alive than dead. Dead dog is better than a living lion. Wait a minute. Living dog's better than a lion that's dead. But a living man in this world is not better than a man that's gone to heaven. Paul said that's far better. See, he leaves out. He doesn't get beyond the earth. Well, dog's alive, lion's dead. Lion was a terrible, awful animal. He was a great animal, but he died. Now, a living dog's better than a dead lion. I think that's true. But a living dog is not better than an immortal soul that died and went to heaven. Now, he's wrong about so much. All right. For the living know that they shall die. Now, he said that's always out for me. A coffin, a grave, a shroud. That's so. But the dead know not anything. Buddy, you'll tell somebody isn't so. That's what man said. God didn't say that. A man said the dead know not anything. I remember one time there's a false religious system. The literature came into my hand. And I was just a young fellow. And said, why, when you die, you cease to exist. You just sleep. A silent sleep in a tomb, turn back to dust. And someday your dust will be raised. You'll be raised from the dead. And so I said, where's that in the Bible? I looked at it and said, well, sure, it says dead know not anything. I just a boy, that bothered me. Till one day I said to myself, God didn't say that. Jesus Christ didn't say that. Jesus Christ said a man died, was buried, and lifted up his eyes in hell. Jesus said a beggar died and was carried with angels, Abraham's bosom. See? God didn't say that the dead know not anything. The rich man in hell knew he needed some water. Lazarus in heaven knew he had some brothers back here needing the gospel. I mean, rich man in hell knew he had some brothers back here and he got talked across a chasm. Yeah, so let's get this. Now, we want you boys and girls from Bob Jones University to go out of here with a clear head about the fundamentals of the Word of God and what we mean when we take our stand so we can face the world on it. Also, thy love and thy hatred and thy envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Other words, it's all over when they're dead. They don't have anything to do with what goes on here, but that's wrong. Trade up a child the way he's going, when he's old, not depart from him. Mother that does that and the father does that, when they die, they still have a part in what goes on here. When you win a soul to Jesus Christ, you still have a part in what goes on you. Listen, if your influence is good or your influence is bad, it lives after you're dead. So this man's wrong by what he's saying. You better watch out how you live in this world. If a man's not going to have a part in him, no influence on it, good or bad, and dies and don't know anything, all right, eat, drink, and be merry. That's the conclusion we'll find he reached. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink the wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Yeah, get all you can out of it, because all you ain't going to get. Isn't that a philosophy? Lovely, isn't it? But that's the way they look at it. Listen, that's the philosophy that governs most people in this world. Now, notice this here. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in the hour which thou takest under the sun. Now notice here, he's got one good thing here. He hit this note right. Now a man reaches a conclusion about some things. I see a successful businessman out yonder, and I study him, and I reach some conclusion about how he made money. I see a fellow go ahead in this world, and he's sober, and I watch him, and I say, well, pretty good. That fellow yonder, he doesn't get drunk and wreck his automobile and kill himself and kill somebody else. I see a fellow that's decent. I say, yeah, it's honest is the best policy. It is the best policy. They sometimes reach some conclusion. Anybody any sense? Listen, you got any sense, you know you can't beat the game of sin. You know that you're playing with fire and destruction when you do wrong. Now he said, whatsoever thy hand findeth do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where thou goest. Live right, why? Pays in this world. Shoot straight, be upright, Devil, even the devil told Adam and Eve that. He said, be something, make somebody out of it, be like God. But what did he say now? He said, now do that, because when you die, you can't do anything. You know, that's nothing to relate to eternity. But you know, when he told you to put your heart in what you're doing, he hit a note there this country needs to hear today. You know, God's crowd that's going to hell, they usually put something into life. I know plenty of folks that are sinners that are never going to heaven. They're going to die and be damned forever and cry for water and eternal torment. That could be an example to some Christians I know. Why, what do they say? Whatsoever thou doest in word or deed, do all for the glory of God. That's God's standard. They say, get what you can out of life. Be cautious, be careful. If you get away with it, it'll be all right. But you better watch out. Better watch out. You might get caught. Don't take any chance. Do you know nobody but a fool act like some people act? I never saw a girl in my life. I never saw a girl in my life step into shame and disgrace. I didn't say, what a miserable fool she was. There wasn't any heaven and any hell and any God. What a fool. I never looked at a young fellow living a wicked, malicious life. And I don't say he's a fool. But, you know, a sinner can know that. What about us Christians? Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in that generation, the children of light. We are thinking of eternity as we go through time. And they're thinking of time and no eternity but eternal sleep and nothing beyond. Now God Almighty makes his appeal on a different basis. The appeal of God is what you reap in this world, you sow. He tells you, watch out. You'll reap it. Even a Christian reaps it. This God wouldn't let the saintliest saint that ever lived do wrong get away with it. David tried it. Man who wrote the 23rd Psalm. He got in the neck too. You say, those men, look what they did. Yeah, they did. But don't ever forget that none of them ever got away with it. David reaped disgrace and dishonor and cried out, my sin is ever before me. I had a woman one time that told me, I'm a Christian now, I'm saved. But I look at my little baby girl and think of my past. Oh, if I could forget it, if I could forget it, if I could forget it. Yeah. She's saved. She'll go to heaven if she dies. But she made a mess of her life, and that skeleton in the closet of her past comes out and rattles her bones in the air as she holds her own baby. Young folks, for God's sake, don't act a fool. When you leave this campus this summer, you're going into a world that's worse than it was when you came here last September. Every day this world's playing the game more loosely. Every day. And let me tell you something. You need to think of eternity. But if you haven't got enough sense to think of that and you're a sinner and going to die someday and go to hell, don't be a fool while you're going to hell. This man here, wise enough to know it, said the dead don't know anything but you. Better put your heart in the life and do what you're going to do. Your farm will be a good one. Yeah, put sweat into it. If you're going to be a preacher, get out and get busy and put life into it. Know these folks that sit down and want God to wait on them. Please do so-and-so for me. When you can do it for yourself. You lazy loafer. All some people want with God is just a waiting boy. Wait on. Listen. God Almighty will never do for you what he has given you strength to do for yourself. You ask God to go out the well and draw you a drink of water. Call on him. Now, wait a minute. If you couldn't draw a drink of water, and it was right for you to have a drink of water, and God wanted you to have it, he could make a fountain gush up at your feet. You know, people say to me, I get so sick and tired. Well, I'm praying about it. You ought to pray God to give you some backbone to get out and go to hustling some of you. get up and get. Old country said we, he's got a lot of get up and get about him. I never knew a preacher that was a success that didn't have some get up and get. This man found that out. I never knew a doctor that succeeded that didn't have get up and get. I've never known a cook that mounted anything that didn't get up and get. This man had enough sense to know that. He didn't have enough sense to know what anything mounted. He did something about get what you can out of life. That's the way to get what you can out of life. Happiest people I've ever met were folks that were busy. I never saw a loafer in my life happy. I never saw a lazy, good-for-nothing woman that wouldn't take care of a home as happy. You ought to be an example in all these things to people. When you girls go home, I want you to get back to your home and get into your house and take some load off the tired shoulders of your mother, and I want you to hustle. You sit down there and loaf around the house and talk pious and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Don't reflect on Jesus Christ by singing that and letting your mother do what you ought to get and help her do. And don't you go out this summer, you preacher boys, and, "Well, I'd like to have a chance to preach, but I can't find any." I think they have some jails in your country. I think there's some street corners where you might get a permit to hold a service. Listen, I don't care how much faith you have and how pious you talk. This man that didn't believe in the hereafter had enough sense to know that if a fella gonna get through this world right, he'd have to put himself into what he does. We're always trying to pull away from our everyday life the glorious Christian experience we talk about. Now, Jesus Christ, just show you how he differed now from this man. He agreed with this man about one thing. You know, everything that's sensible and truthful came from God. God's not the author of confusion. Thing that hadn't got any sense in it, I've told you over and over, God isn't in it. You read over Jesus said there's a man one time, an old farmer. And this farmer went to work and cultivated his land well, had a good season, made a good crop. And he looked at his crop and says, "Sure is wonderful. Nice crop I made." And he said, "I think I'll take a vacation before I get the crop in." "Watch out there, buddy. There's no time for a vacation. Get that crop in the barn." "Well, this barn isn't big enough. Of course, I could build another one. Maybe I better build it." He got through, he had sense enough to farm. And he had sense enough to know how to spend money. He had sense enough to save what he made. He gathered his crop. Then one word that God ever said against a man using good sense. God didn't say, "You ought not to have done that." Oh yes, God showed how smart he was about some things. And that fella walked in and said, "I got a good crop and barn's all full. Got plenty laid up for many years. I'm going to take it easy." And that night the fool died. You know what's the matter with him? He wasn't a fool about this world. He had more sense about time than some very pious talking people I've met. I've known some farmers that talk very pious that didn't have enough ordinary sense to say what they made. That man wasn't a fool because he gathered his crop, was a good farmer. He wasn't a fool because he built a new barn. He is a fool because he didn't get ready to die. There were two emergencies. And this man made preparation for time that ceased to be as far as he is concerned. but made no provision for eternity where he is now. Listen, you ought to be sensible about the next world. You know, I never have understood how people could call themselves intelligent and die without God in this country. Met a fellow one time and said, "You believe there's a God?" "Yes." "Yes, I think there's a God." "You believe there's a heaven?"
"I think there must be a good place for my mother." "Good people." "You believe in hell?" Yeah, I believe it's a hell. "I know exactly what it is, but I don't think anybody could possibly go to the same place and they die." "Are you a Christian?" "No." "No, I'm not a Christian." "Won't you accept Jesus as your Savior?" "No, not tonight." "Wait a minute, you may die tonight." "What? You mean to tell me you got sense enough to believe all these things? And believe when you die you're going somewhere? And there are only two places to go, and you know you're not going to one of them. Therefore you're going to the other? Well, you're a fool. Don't talk wise to me, you big boys strutting your stuff around this country listening over this radio. You old fool. And here you are. Here you are, this man who didn't talk about the hereafter had enough sense to talk about this world in a pretty practical sort of way. And here are people going on in this country. Now let me tell you something, we've come to the end of this year. If there's anybody in this school that isn't right with God and you walk off of this campus unsaved, you are a fool, that's all. And that's what God Almighty told this fella, you're a fool. You're a fool. You better watch your step. If you are not right with God, don't you go away after all this year here and this effort and these prayers and this coming. You know, nearly every year somebody comes here and tries to fit in, tries to adapt himself. But do you know you can't adapt yourself to spiritual things unless you're right? You can talk past and all that and go around and go along. Somebody said to me, "Why is it so many people take the wrong side when a crisis comes?" You know what? They just weren't right with God. Crisis comes, they take the wrong side. Every time a crisis has come in my life and my ministry for these 62 years, somebody I used to think I'd lost all my friends. I hadn't. I just uncovered all my enemies. And when I came up and took my stand, I always found that friends we didn't know about. Listen. You know what's the matter? Let me tell you, the churches are filled with people that have never been born again and they're going to hell. I saw a mean letter the fellow preacher wrote to a fellow at our school here who took his membership out of his church because his boy didn't want to support his program. And wrote back this fellow, he put in a paragraph about me. I saw it yesterday. He said, "Bob Jones told a preacher in this country he's going to hell." Well, I don't remember telling him, but I'm sure some preachers are going to hell. The modernists are going to hell. I know. I may have told some preacher that. I don't know. I may have, but if I did, I was telling him something in line with the Bible. Haven't been born again, you're going to hell. And you know the Bible says, in that day many say, "Haven't I done big things for you?" Don't you remember me? I was pastor of the big leading church in my town. Everybody knew me. I was a moderator, president, chairman. Oh, yeah, conducted funerals and before marriages. I was an expert in marrying people and burying the dead. And he said, "I never knew you at all. What's your name?" "Preacher?" That's not the password to heaven. "Teacher?" That's not the password. "Church member?" You know, heaven would be crowded if all the church members in this day and time went to heaven. Wouldn't have room. God would have to enlarge the house. And he said that was a minority crowd when Jesus was here on earth. Now, wait a minute. I want you, if you haven't made preparation to meet God, don't you leave this campus till you make it.
I hope you made it already. Now, wait a minute.
Now, don't let this man back here that said the dead don't know anything and a live dog's better than a dead lion. Don't let him have more sense about this world than you have.
You certainly got more about the hereafter than this man under the sun, Ecclesiastes.
But don't you let him, listen, don't you let any Christian with your ability and brain and character and opportunity have any more sense about this world than you have. If you are ready to meet God, you ought not to be a fool as you're on your way there.
And now remember that. Don't go out in this place. One thing that's made Bob Jones University a testimony around the world has been the fact that our boys and girls, rule stand up means them. If they sing well. If they get up and talk, they don't talk wise than they are. It's always pretty nice for a young fellow, especially a young preacher, to say, I don't know much, my friends. Tell them you don't. They'll find out anyhow. Don't stand up and talk so wise about it. Stand up and say, I don't know much. You know, I've got by a lot of times that way. Folks will listen to you that, they say, well, that fellow's honest, to say the least. Tell me, don't know much, but tell me you know some things. Know Jesus can save a sinner. You know the Bible, so. Stand up and be sensible and practical. That's what this made this school. Practical, sensible, without eccentricities, believe in the Bible. Not going around with a chip on your shoulder attitude towards life. Come on now. Don't let worldly people have more sense than you have down the highway of life if you have the same natural ability they have. Let's remember it. Learn those two lessons. Get ready for the inevitable eternity and learn how to get through this world like an intelligent Christian ought to do it. Our Heavenly Father, help us to know we never win but compromise. We never get through this world successfully by selling out and trimming and cutting the corners. Help us to know we're in this world and that there are certain laws that govern conduct that don't conflict with our Christian experience at all. We don't have to conflict with our faith in the Bible to get through this world. Sometimes they lie about us and misrepresent us, but let us be sure they are lying when they say things. Help us to be faithful. Keep this school true. We thank thee for this year of victory. And we believe, we have faith to believe that we are sending out at the end of this year the most wonderful young people that have ever been on this campus, and they're going to do more than any crowd's ever known. Let the power of God come upon them, and if there's anybody not right, help him or her to get completely right before they leave him. And to go away and write a clean record this summer, we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.